You can follow along this morning. We find ourselves in Galatians. In our study in the book of Galatians, we have now reached chapter 5. Chapter 5 begins the practical exhortations of Paul to the church at Galatia. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read Galatians 5, 1 through 6 this morning. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for being a God who has made all things, who is redeeming a people to himself, who delights in the praise of his creatures. And so, Father, as we come this morning and as we have praised you, would you give us hearts filled with joy because of the great gift you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, as we open your word, this word which is true, constantly and consistently for our lives, we pray that you would open our hearts, the eyes of our soul, to see and hear that which is your word of life to us today. Speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the word of God from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you, that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. It's that classic story, Les Mis, the story of the miserable ones, and two of the main characters, Javert and Jean Valjean, are in a conversation. Javert has come and he has brought the certificate of parole with him to Jean Valjean. And he says to Jean Valjean, as they are meeting each other, he says to him, "You know what today is?" And he talks to him about his freedom. He says, "You know what today is? Today is your parole beginning. Do you know what that means?" And Jean Valjean says, "Yes, it means I am free." To which Javert says, "No. No." In the story of Les Mis, Javert is the picture of the law, and Jean Valjean is the picture of one in need of grace. And Javert hammers, even after 19 years in prison for stealing bread, Javert hammers Jean Valjean with the law. "I know the slavery of the law," Jean Valjean says. "Now I am free." It's a message that resonates with Paul and the church of Galatia. It resonates because they are free in Christ. When Paul began this church, he spoke to them that message of grace that freed them from their efforts to appease God in God's great condescending love to come in Christ, to live that perfect life, to die a death upon a cross, to be resurrected in power, to give life freely by faith. Now, the great challenge there for the church at Galatia is, after Paul had gone on to start other churches, there were those who were false teachers called the Judaizers who had come in, and they had begun to sell them a bill of goods that said, yes, to be a Christian, you must first become a Jew. You must be circumcised. And Paul, with all the veracity of his soul, he is striking back at this false gospel. Because any time you add something to Jesus for salvation, you actually destroy the work of Jesus in salvation. And so it's the heart here of Paul to give freedom to people who have been freed. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Do you know that message this morning? That the ministry of Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is for freedom. He has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That word again there is critical, isn't it? That word again there is because all of us, by nature, come into the world alienated from God and in slavery to sin and death. But Jesus Christ has accomplished our freedom. And faith is our joy to celebrate as we come this morning. For freedom, Christ has set you free. You know, in the Western world particularly, but in the Western world, we all believe that we have something to accomplish, some greatness to pursue. Our commercials tell us to just do it. Go after it. And we live in a world where many believe that God helps those who help themselves. And that was the gospel of the Judaizers in Galatia in that day. Come on, you do your part, God will do His part. And it's a message that Paul abhorred. A message that Paul abhorred, that they would place upon a people who were free in Christ a burden to try to accommodate or make a down payment on their salvation. And Paul begins to speak of Philip, of the freeness of the gospel and the freeing of the gospel in all of life. You see, your freedom in Christ is not a business transaction. It is a gift. Let me say it again. Your freedom in Christ is not a business transaction. It is a gift. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And that's really what marks out our text this morning, is that Paul wants the church at Galatia, and today those who sit in the church at Westminster, he wants us to understand that freedom which is ours, that we may celebrate Jesus in joy and not be insecure in our relationship with Him throughout our day. God has given us Christ for our joy and His glory, that we may celebrate together the freedom that frees us from sin and frees us to the honor of Jesus our Savior. You see, the beauty of the gospel is that the gift is given so that we may be free to the honor of Christ, freed from bondage and slavery, freed to honor and joy in the Savior. And that's really what marks out the text here. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand, therefore, that's the command. Stand, hold fast, rejoice, live in the freedom, and don't again return to the bondage of slavery. Now, Paul talks about that negatively and positively in the text. He this week deals with the practice, the wrong practice of the Judaizers. Next week in verses 7 through 12, he'll deal with the wrong preaching of the Judaizers. And then the next week, if you're visiting, come back. We'd love to have you. He'll talk about the liberty of the Christian life that will not give in to license or legalism in verses 13 through 18. But he wants us to be gathered in to the promises of the gospel this morning. And so he speaks of it negatively, the practices of the Judaizers, and then positively of the power of the gospel. You can see that there in the three fatal flaws of the teaching of the Judaizers. In verse 2, look, I, Paul, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Jesus is no advantage to you. If you try to add to what Jesus has already done, you have lost the advantage. It's like opening your bank account to the person who promises if you give them $20, they will bring tenfold on your account. They'll give you 200 back. And then looking the next day in your bank account and seeing that not only did they take your $20, they took the other $200 were there. They obligated you to everything. You see, the point here that Paul is making is when you try to add to the work of Christ, your work in salvation, salvation doesn't work. When we try to do Jesus' work for Him, we lose the advantage of resting in Christ. There in verse 3, this second fatal flaw, that Jesus is no advantage to you. So notice there in verse 3, he testifies to everyone who accepts circumcision that you're obligated to keep the whole law. It's not a down payment and then Jesus pays the rest of the payments. No, Jesus pays all the payments. And if you make the obligation, if you try to pay for it yourself, you actually obligate yourself to the whole law. You're under a curse. The third fatal flaw there in verse 4, you are severed. You know, circumcision was a minor surgical procedure in the flesh, the cutting of the foreskin. But it was a major problem in the heart because it severed, it pulled away from grace. To depend on an act to make you okay with God is destruction to the soul. Those are the negatives. Paul is laboring with these people who are considering following the teachings, the false teachings of those who have come in among them. He is laboring for their soul that they may rest in Jesus by faith. And faith demands we wait and that we walk in love. That's the positives there in verse 5 and 6. Notice there in verse 5. For through the Spirit. Salvation is not accomplished by what we do in the flesh. Salvation is accomplished by what God does in His Spirit. For by the Spirit, Spirit-empowered faith eagerly waits the hope of righteousness. You see, those who are resting not on their righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, will be approved in the last day. Because we will be found in Christ. We wait eagerly. Even as we walk in love, notice that those who are in Christ, for them it's not circumcision or uncircumcision. That's not what counts. What counts is faith working through love. Faith that rests in Jesus and the love of Christ poured in us begins to flow out so that we honor Him. And the whole point here for Paul, the whole point is that the gospel is not a business transaction for us to prove ourselves to God, but it is a gift from God, Him proving Himself to us. And we rejoice in that. So that we are warned not again to turn to slavery, but that we wait in faith, even as we walk in love, following the ways of God. Warnings against slavery. That is the heart of verses 2 through 4 there. We are emancipated. And if we're emancipated, why would we turn to the old ways of life? There's no profit in adding our work to Jesus' work. Now, this ritual of circumcision, it's not just the cutting of flesh, it's the ritual. All that it meant that was a problem here, because in being cut in the flesh, in being circumcised, they were forfeiting the rights God had given for the obligations that would strangle life out of them. And Paul's real point here, and why he doesn't want us to return to slavery, even as he doesn't want the Galatian church to return to slavery, is what the real problem here is, he doesn't want us to think that we can bribe God. You never bribe God for His favor. The beauty of the gospel is that God gives up front, that God gives freely. God pours out His favor on us, received by faith. You see, no man bribes God for His interactions. God gives Himself to His people freely. We need to remember that God has come and we need to be free and live free in the gifts of Christ. Booker T. Washington was one of the men, after slavery was abolished in the United States, one of the men who began the Tuskegee Institute. And one of Booker T. Washington's great goals for those who had suffered under slavery was to help them to know their freedom and to live in their freedom. And he spent his life seeking to educate those former slaves into a new way of life. And in his book, in a book entitled Unshackled, he speaks of that nature of the bondage of slavery and how he often had to speak to those who had been under slavery. He had often had to tell them that they were free and they were to live free. Again and again, his message was, be free and live free. And that is Paul's message to the church at Galatia. And to you this morning, church. If you are in Christ, you are free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free to the joys of Christ. Be free. Live free. And that means we will wait in faith, even as we walk in His love. Notice there in verse 5,
For through the Spirit, it is Spirit empowered, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. The Christian life comes with the need to wait. We wait on God to make all things right. Now, He has loaded up front the gifts of grace to us, and He has given Himself to us, and there's no greater gift of the gospel than this. Jesus gives Himself to you. But that will be affirmed in that final day, before a great judgment throne. We will not claim our good deeds, but we will claim the righteousness of Christ. We eagerly await the day, the affirmation, the full and final consecration and decimation of sin as we live in the righteousness of Christ. You know, one of the great hopes in the Bible is to be affirmed. And we find in Philippians 4:3, you can look a little later in the conflict between Euodia and Syntyche. They are called to peace because their names are written in the book of life. You get to the book of Revelation, and as the angels of heaven and those of heaven peer over, they're always hearing about the names that are written in chapter 3, verse 5, the book of life, chapter 13, verse 8, the book of life, and in, before the great white throne in chapter 20, verse 15, all those who have hope of eternal life, their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the book of His righteous deeds in the place of our unrighteous deeds. You see, here the heart is that we ourselves eagerly wait with hope, hope of righteousness, of being made well in the full work of Jesus. And as we wait upon Jesus to return, we delight to walk in the love He has shared. There is this desire to walk in freedom because we are free indeed. Your freedom in Christ is not a payment plan. We live first-class lives. We have been given first-class economy in the presence and joy and salvation of Jesus. One of the worst things that ever happened to me in flying is I was given a first class ticket overseas. It was a trip that we were taking to Albania, and they had messed up the flight, and so to get us on the next flight, they had to give us first class tickets. They told us you don't have the kind of standing or points that you'll actually get to sit first class, but we've got to reserve some seats. And I guess the next day things were so busy that we actually ended up in first class. And I can remember flying, jumping the great pond, flying, and I was in a chair that folded all the way back. They kept bringing me little glasses of things to drink and foods, and I could say, don't bother me anymore, and I could sleep, but I always had somebody there to take care of everything I want. And then on the way back, I had to sit in the seat that I paid for. That was the worst 9-hour flight I ever had. Because the whole time I was longing to be back up front. Back up front. I was sitting amidst guys whose shoulders were as wide as mine for 9 hours. Now that was fun. I was longing for something more. And the issue of my heart was there was this grasp. And that's how I find many of us live our Christian lives. We fail to see that really what Jesus has done for us, so He has given Himself fully to us. And we think there's more we've got to do, and if we do a little more, then we'll get a better class. We'll get a better seat. But notice, that's not what Paul is saying here. That grasping will not help us wait with hope and walk with love. No, it's rejoicing in the full and final salvation that is ours in Christ, even as we long for the day of His coming. And so we will walk in love. You see, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but faith at work through love. Faith lavishing out the love that has been poured into us. That's the life we live. You know, this morning it's important for us to see that circumcision and uncircumcision, that distant thing in the past in the church of Galatia, there are things that we can turn into legalisms as well. your morning Bible reading plan. That's not what gets you in the favor of God. You don't read the Bible to get the favor of God. You read the Bible because you have the favor of God. It's not your weekly service project. You don't go out and serve others because that will put you in God's favor. No, we serve from the favor of God, not to get the favor of God. It's not that that monthly or bi-monthly or once a year fast you do that proves that you're a little more spiritual than the person sitting next to you in the pew. And we don't do those things to prove ourselves to God because God has proved Himself to us. You see, we wait by faith, even as we walk by love, because of all that Jesus has poured into our lives. How could you submit yourself again to slavery when all the gifts of grace are yours today by faith? You know, this morning, Jesus comes to us that we may have confident hope in His provision. But the thing that robs us of our confident hope is the constant comparisons of the soul. Constantly we compare ourselves, but we get to live in the freedom of His faith and love because of all that He has done for us. One of my favorite persons in history is the Flying Scotsman, Eric Little. Maybe some of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire or read the book The Flying Scotsman or one of his stories. Eric Little was a man who was a missionary child. He had grown up in China on the mission field. He came home to Scotland to study, and he studied through high school there in a boarding school and then at the University of Edinburgh. And while he was at the University of Edinburgh, he was a fantastic athlete. He was the star cricket player. He was the star player for the rugby team. And he was a magnificent runner. An unorthodox style, but he was a magnificent runner. And in the 1924 Olympics, he ran and won the 400, wouldn't run the 100 because it was on Sunday and against his convictions, placed third in the 200. He was a national hero. And shortly after that, he returned to the mission field to Scotland. From Scotland to China. While he was in China, in the 1940s, I think it was 1941, the Japanese began to invade northern China in the town that he was in, and he was taken captive, placed in an internment camp. Now, that part of the story was known for many, many years. He actually died in that internment camp in 1945 from a brain tumor that was exacerbated by the malnutrition of being in the camp. But just some years ago, in 2008, when the Olympics were in Beijing, it was reported by the Chinese government that actually during his internment in that camp, Winston Churchill had tried to barter a deal. A prisoner swap, as it were. And there was to be a prisoner swap for Eric Little because he was a renowned man, one of great notoriety in the kingdom, and he tried to get him back. And while he was in the camp, Little, by the way, had already, before he was in prison, he had sent his family home. So his daughters, three daughters and wife were free. So he would have had a reason to want to get out of the internment camp. But he received a ticket. He received a ticket for his freedom. And when he got that ticket, he looked around and he saw the need that was in the camp. And he looked at a pregnant woman who had far greater need than he. And he gave her that ticket. And she was freed. He lived the rest of his life, the rest of his days, the next few years, in that camp. But he was the freest man in the place. Because he knew his freedom was in Christ. He knew his freedom was secure. He knew his freedom was life. And that life allowed him to love those who were around him. It wasn't a spirit of slavery that owned him. It was a spirit of Christ. In the spirit of his freedom that he rejoiced in. And this is my heart for us as a church this morning, for a people this morning, to know the Savior who has loved us deeply and to love with his love by faith in the world around us. Live in the freedom that is supplied you. Live in the freedom that is freely given by your Savior. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand, therefore. Don't submit to the yokes of slavery. Don't submit to the comparisons of the world around you. Live with confidence in the freedom that is yours by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, it's those comparisons that will shipwreck the happiness, the joy of our faith. It's comparisons that often rob us of our security in Christ. It's comparisons that seek to sneak in and steal your joy in Christ. My sons were at a spiritual life conference, and they heard a preacher in town speak the other day, and the preacher was speaking on comparisons. And the preacher said that the thing that gets us is the er factor and the as factor. The er factor and the as factor, those are the things that will rob us of our joy, because comparison robs us of joy. We've got the er factor. We've got to be better, smarter, skinnier, stronger. If we don't fall to that fate, sometimes we fall to the as factor. I need to be as smart, as good looking, as strong, as helpful. And what that does is it brings our attention towards others. And we start to making the planes of comparisons along the horizontal factor. And the truth is, we need our hearts always focused towards Jesus, because there is no comparison to the work of Jesus in our work. There is only joy that one has given all, that we may share in his all. You see, the heart of the gospel for Paul, for this church at Galatia, is that all eyes would be on Jesus. That the comparisons would not be with other Christians outside or inside, but with the Savior who brings life to us. There's our confidence this morning. Not the comparisons that strangle the life and love of Christ in us, but the confidence, the security, the hope that waits eagerly on the coming of Christ and His righteousness, even as we walk by His love, day in, day out. Can I ask you this morning, where is your confidence? Where is your hope placed? Is it in what you do, or in what God has done for you? You know, the thing that needs to be strangled out of our lives is that tendency to compare. Oh, I'm okay a little bit this day. See, I look around the road, I don't have anybody to compare to. Because my life is hid in Christ. And beloved, I desire more than anything that you would know the joy of your life hid in Christ too. Our righteousness is not in what we have done, but what He has done. And that's what frees us to serve with love in the power of faith given because of the joy set before us in the accomplished work of a great Savior. Now that'll hold you today, tomorrow, and to the end. Freedom. 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 It is yours in Christ Jesus. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand. Stand firmly planted in the work done for you. Don't submit again. Not to the false idolatries of the heart that try to save self, but only in the strong name and power of Jesus, the saving one. That's our hope. Stand strong. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our hope this day is not in rituals done by hands of men, but in work done by Christ the Savior. Would you hold us fast in the delight of Christ, that we might know our freedom and live in it. Even as we wait the day, Father, may we wait eagerly with faith-filled hearts and joy-filled lives in loving service to you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.